I told you that I'm going to finish something up that I started last week in Psalm 84. In Psalm 84, we are looking at, like I said last week, that God gave us the book of Psalms as a kind of a book that is just strange. Unlike other parts of the Bible that they will write a lot, like a prose, the book of Psalm is a series of short poetical materials that speak. They are very prophetic, and there are different ways. And I talked to you about the misuse of Psalm. It was not meant to be read into water, used as incantations. It was meant, just like other scriptures, to be inspired of God and profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. This is what we are dealing with. So let's go to that Psalm 84 one more time from verse 1. Let's just read it together, all of us together. Let's go. We'll read everything. How lovely is your tabernacle, Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faint, for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield. Look upon the face of your anointed. And for a day in your court is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withdraw from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Now, this psalm is projecting to us about this last verse, describe the whole essence of this psalm. It's about the blessing of the person who trusts in the Lord. And that trust is not passive. So just I just trust you and I walk away. But this for this kind of trust, verse 10 actually tells us what is the essence of this. This is what I want to see. We're talking about trusting in God, not just to trust like that. It's a vibrant, ongoing trust that is listening to the latest from God. Not just thinking God has spoken sometimes ago and that's enough. No, but an ongoing. Can I surprise you? When the devil asked Jesus to make stone into bread, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Let's look at it, Matthew 4:4. Let me not just quote it. Matthew 4:4. Can you get it for us? Matthew 4, verse 4. All right. But he answered and said, now please, look at this verse. I'd like you to look at it. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that, what? He didn't say past tense that proceeded. You see, the Bible is a past tense. It was given to us. But it's talking about actually hearing God saying this. So, let's go back to Psalm 84, verse 10. This is the essence. For a day in your court is better. So, it's trying to emphasize something to us. Please, are we here? This kind of trust is not just mubarale. This kind of trust is actually depending on what God is saying through his word. We have so many things in this Bible, but what is he saying out of this to us? And that's moment by moment. Pastor, what's the meaning of that? For instance, women know this. You go to market, buy food stuff, and put them in your store. But you don't eat everything at once. Am I right? Already, the food is already a past thing in your store. But the eating of it is up to date and going on. Am I right? And you take the food. Is the food already? You didn't go to the market that morning. You have gotten the food already. But you take that food and cook it as a meal for that moment. Now, the word of God is like that. This is full of food stuff. But then, he says that we need to get before God and let it be cooked in his house to meet our need. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Am I making some sense? Our altar fire with this word of God will make this word of God to become. And why is this so important? Now listen to this. A day of interacting with God like that will give you the value of 1,000 days. Wow. Did you hear what I just said? A day that if you spend that one day with God, the accruing revenue that will come to you is about what? 3 years. Wow. He said, a day in your court is better. That means if I have 1,000 days, that's about 3 years. Am I correct? So 365 times 3 is about 1,000 plus. Okay. Now, if I have that, can you imagine? Every time I get before God and I spend time in his house, I'm having given back to me 3 years thereabouts of benefit, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. Sometimes, let me drop this. Sometimes you may not be praying very well now. You may still even miss out some of your praying life. But what you have done 3 years ago can still be paying for you now. Are you hearing me? If a car is speeding and you stop the engine, the car won't stop immediately. Am I right? In fact, the speed will tell you how far it can still go before if you're just crawling and you stop the car. It just comes to you. It hurts soon. But if it's on top speed, it's around 100, when you stop the car engine, you'll still be running for some distance. Can you almost about, you know, some of us know those days, you put off your engine when there was full scarcity. Keep rolling. But let's not be smart with that, thinking that, oh, I have enough store that I can just carry on and I'm not going to pray. No, no, no. You should be topping it so that it can cascade over each other. Are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, that what you experience, God told Israel, you know what? On the 58th year, go on break, called the year of Jubilee. And then they will say, Lord, what are we going to eat in Jubilee? God said, don't walk on the 49th, don't walk on the 58th, and don't walk on 51st. What kind of holiday is that? God said, the harvest I will give you in the 48th year will be enough for 49th, for the 58th, and for the 51st. Wow. May that come back. I don't want to say amen too much. So we can see that second, please, from this verse, we are looking at something about the value. The second, even if you don't have enough time for that time with God, even if you are at the door, it's far better. Are you hearing me? So sometimes, how many of you know that sometimes you really have time with God? Some other time, you're just dragging with God. Anybody? You know, you just get in there. You know, your mind keeps on splitting over the matter. You're not sure. Something's bothering you. But you're still in the Bible and still praying in tongues and your mind is there. Even that at the edge, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent. That word wickedness means unfaithfulness, unreliability. So even when it's not doing quite well, get in there. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. All of us know this, that now, whether you feel like going to work or you don't feel like going to work, prophecies, we go to work. You know, sometimes you have something you want to do and you want to get done. Some other time you just be like, oh God, but you have to wake up, take your bath, go to work. But whatever, you go to work like that, you're going to get some salary, whether you feel or you don't feel like it. So that's what I want us to see first, that taking time out with God will accrue to us in every time we live, because it's going to do things for us in every area. I had a man of God, his son was in a particular country as a U.S. soldier, and the son was taking this bike. He was running, and I think it was in Vietnam, and he ran across a place. He never knew there was a big valley there. And the vehicle ran, so the motorbike ran, got to the edge, and on sent force, turned it back. And he stood at the edge looking down like that. And at that same moment, God woke up his father in America and said, "Your son is in danger, but has been spared because of you and your faithfulness to me." That's one thing your children can count on, is this: living in the house of God. It will affect the whole of your life. In fact, David was having it coming after and after. God kept Israel for years because of David's faithfulness to God. And he said one thing. Let's go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Verse 1. Okay, let's look at this quickly. Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" Next verse. "When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh," sounds like sickness and disease, "my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." Now, what is fueling all this is verse 4. Give us verse 4 now. See, all that braggadocio, confidence, and standing came out of this. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek." So it's something I have to pursue all the days of my life, to behold what? Now, listen. Prof was talking about to meditate last week, if you remember. See that word, to behold the beauty, and to inquire, that word is to meditate in his temple. You see, many of us just think that it is just to go pray. No, it says, number one, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and second, to inquire prayerfully, meditatively in his temple. So it's just more than your prayer closet. It's also your study closet. It's also your inquiry closet. Am I making some sense now? It's just more than quiet time. You should be living in such a way that you can refer to God regularly. That's one thing I don't like about this generation. They're just giving devotionals. They're giving us devotionals from our churches. We read them, and then we said, "Seeking now, I satisfy the God of Rock Foundation today." No, we should be. Hallelujah. You know why I love this verse? It taught me that no matter the ugliness going around me, I can go into God's presence and see his beauty. Hallelujah. I can see his beauty. And there's so much news around us today, so much news. But I can pick up my Bible and I can take a look at God, his faithfulness, his goodness, his mercy. Hallelujah. And not only that, I can ask questions. "Lord, what's really going on here? What's happening?" That's part of my prayer life. Hallelujah. So, I want to ask us, each one of us over here, this is an old thing we used to do, but you that are younger now, pick it up, to have time with God, to go to the house of God. Last week, I was talking about the tabernacle. It's three things, remember? What's the tabernacle of God? Heaven is his tabernacle. Church, our gardens, is tabernacle. And third, our heart is his tabernacle. All those must interface. Because when I go to my heart, I meet God who is in heaven. And what I even get in my heart is what has been deposited there from all the time around here. In fact, I cannot go to my tabernacle inside without other men of God, women of God in this book. Hallelujah. Am I making some sense? All right, let's go back to the cry, verse 1, Psalm 84. First of all, let's get practical now. Let's get practical. Psalm 84, verse 1. Now, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Now, everybody here, there is a place you are looking for in life. There's a dream house a dream car, a dream life, a dream marriage. Where is that? Where is that? It's not in the land of the living. Do you know that the house of Israel thought that the land of Canaan was land of rest and safe house? God said, no, I'm your safety, not the land. There are even giants there. So number one, I want you to start making prayers of God your lovely priority. Are you hearing me? See, stop making it a drag. Stop making it a drag. Start desiring to be with God. That's the first point. Make it your everyday hunger. You see that in a minute. Desire, you may not have the time. Like now, you should be running on deficit. I run on deficit every day because I don't have enough time with God. But I must be desiring. The moment I stop that desiring and I don't have deficit enough, I'm losing out. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty after. So, number one, I have this every day. I must just be with God. I love that more than anything else. It's priority to me. I mean, you even almost get sick if you don't have it. It's like you are on cocaine of God's presence. Am I making some sense? Make it part of you. Don't put God last. Oh, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor at all. In fact, sometimes being a pastor can make it worse because you'll be so busy you don't have time for anything else. So number one, how lovely. Make it priority. See, a lot of things you are looking for in life is in there. Am I making some sense? I have seen what to do with money, what to do with life, what to do with my friends. Ah, man, there's nothing like this. There's nothing like this. I can give you testimony upon testimonies. You know, I was just spending time with God, and then it came to me, one of my friends, sending me a verse about something about land. And I took my phone beside God, see me on Bible, and I sent him text. And he come and say, Reverend Tony, I am on a plot of land now thinking about buying it. Whoa! I love that. Another one recently, one of my friends just reshaping some things in his ministry. I just woke up Sunday morning of all time. I'm just thinking that with God. He just said, take your phone. And I text him and tell him. I was doing things I was saying to him, what I don't even understand myself. Send it to him. I didn't know what happened. Then later, I watched that service online. That service in the morning. I just felt like it was the service online. Then he said, hey, let me start. And he took the text I sent to him on the screen in the church. He said, Reverend Tunde was not here with us all through this month. But he just sent me this text this morning and he began to analyze. I said, what? There's nothing like that. I'll tell him, put money there. Don't buy that over there. Change that over there. Do that. Sometimes, even instrument, I know what to do. You know, because you come alive. You see, listen, everybody, this will help you. You are the image of God. Image can never come to a mirror until the object stands before the mirror. Am I right? Am I right? And one thing you do, women know here, if you don't clean your mirror and it lasts not too longer, you know what I'm talking about? Your head goes like this. So if you're getting too old, you're not mirroring God anymore. But the more you get to the mirror, the better it is. Because until God stands before you, you are his image. It won't come out well. Am I making some sense now? So we desire. Now, let me tell you something that God put inside of you to help you to do that. Look at next verse. It says, my soul longs, yes, even faint, for the courts of the Lord. My heart, see, all part of you, your desire, your heart, your flesh. Have you been there? You just feel sad. And there's no reason. There's something crying out inside of you. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. Sometimes you feel like, I need to travel. Travel to God's presence first. You know, a lot of time in life, we think we just need to go somewhere, eat something, have something, buy something that will make our life better. Oh, there was a man I was telling you about that was crying. That when he got to heaven, he saw his whole life, not burden, to an exercise book. Very rich man. He had aircrafts, he had yachts. And the Lord stood beside him and said, look at your life. Then he noticed something. He said, every time I felt like I need more, I'll go and buy that aircraft. I'll go and buy that yacht. I'll go and buy that latest car. and I'm not satisfied. He said, actually, the Lord was telling me, when you are feeling that hunger, you are feeling that hunger for me. Well, I will give you all things to enjoy richly, but he said, that first hunger. See, if you just finish your house, the beauty of your finishing your house is not that it's finished, it's because you can live there with God. Am I making some sense? The beauty of a car is not just to have a car drive around, is to stay in that car and contact and interact with God. The beauty of a new position, a new direction in life, not just to have that new direction, is to get in there and let God work with you to make it better and go somewhere. I'm making some sense this morning. So your heart will cry out. Your flesh will cry out. That's why people that are very rich, they start looking for extra wives. Because they think it's going to be somewhere there. It's not there. The girl will waste your money and dump you after. So that cry, can we lift our hands and say, Father, increase my heart cry and help me discern the heart cry. Increase my heart cry, my soul cry. He said, my soul longing for you. My heart and my flesh cry out, Lord. Lord, help me to discern my flesh cry. Help me to discern my heart cry, my soul longing for you. Help me to see it. Help me to prepare room for you every day. Thank you for helping me to do this. And I give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Back to Psalm 84. Let's just walk through this for some few minutes. I want to close today on this subject. Let's look at verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7. These are cluster of verses that were put together to help us. Like I told you, first of all, it's part of us to look out for God, to depend on God, to rely on God. As we come to church like this, as we go to our heart and talk to the Lord. But let's look at what happens to us. What happened? See that word, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. When I was praying over this matter this morning, the Lord said, I should help you to define blessing well. See that word, blessed. See that word, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. He said, define that word, blessing. One of the best ways to define something in the Bible is to find out the first time it's mentioned. It's called the law of first mention. For instance, how do we know God? The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Right off the bat, we know God is not created. He created everything. Am I right? So, when you are discussing, when did God begin, you are wasting your time. It's not a creature, it's a creator. If he has a beginning, it's not a creator, is a creature. Let's look at the word bless. It was used two times in Genesis 1. Genesis 1, 22. Can you hear me? Genesis 1, 22. And God blessed them. What did he bless? Give us the verse before this verse. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the water abandoned, come to their kind, every winged bird. So this was creatures, these were birds, these were crawling things. Verse 22. And God did what? Blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill. See those three words. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill. Now, that's what he did to creatures. Let's look at verse 28. After making man, then God blessed them. See that word bless again. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth or replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. God is the blesser. Am I correct from that verse? Second, what are the articles of the blessing? Fruits, multiply, fill, subdue and have dominion. So when we say somebody is blessed, we are saying is fruitful, is multiplying, is replenishing, is subduing and mastering the forces against him, and is having dominion. So that's the word blessed. And only God can transfer that. Let me give you this verse in Message Bible. You will love it. Message Bible. Can you give us a Message Bible? Thank you. Message Bible. I hope you can find it. God blessed them. What did he say? Pro- prosper. That means exclamatory mark. Prosper. Reproduce. Fill up. Take charge. Be responsible for. Praise God, somebody. I like that. So, God's blessing helps us to prosper, to reproduce ourselves, to fill what is vacant and empty, and to take charge and to take care of our responsibilities. If somebody spends time with God, he'll be a loving wife, a loving husband. Somebody spends time with God, he'll be a faithful employer. If somebody, something about God will hold you back. Remember, Joseph said, I fear God, I can't touch you. Remember? I fear God. He said, the fear of God is not in their eyes. So, that's the word blessing. Is that all right? So, you see now. Let's go back to Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Whose heart is set on you. Let's talk about, everybody listen to this. Can I say something that will help all of us over here? Your greatest requirement outside intelligence is strength. If you are going to live life well, if you are going to make things happen, one of my teachers said, ideas don't move mountains, bulldozers do. You know, if you are going to, Nigeria, we lack, a lot of us lack executive power. Oh, we can talk. Nigerians can talk. Social media made it more evident. Somebody you tell, they see all those things. You know the people that I employ? I have this, I can do that. And then by the end, close to them, Emma Binu. Have you heard that before? And Emma Binu said, Emma Binu. No, close to say, Emma Binu said, what else are you going to say? Huh? So we need, you see, this word strength must become dominant in our thinking. Remember, I can do all things. Who strengthens? In fact, I noticed Paul's prayer, two of those prayers. Pastor David usually pray. Let's go to chapter 3, Ephesians. Let's look at this word strength. One of the greatest benefits of being with God and finding time to be with him is this thing called strength. Let's go to Ephesians 3, verse 16. Can you find it? Ephesians 3. This is Paul's prayer. Paul was praying. Let's start from verse 14. Can you go back to verse 14? For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family... I just feel like saying something. Hold on. Today, you look at the Western world. They seem to have it getting together. The strength is available. Don't forget what their parents invested. One day with God, like 1,000 days. Can you imagine John Wesley, all of them, they've invested all those things. Their kids are still running on those things today. We didn't have that in Africa. We were a dark continent. The best of God has just been coming in recent time in Africa. So our children will have it better than us. Can we say amen to that? From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, next verse, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. What's that? What's the first prayer request? To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the what? I mean, we talk about children, people to stand, because people will oppose you. Life will oppose you. You don't look at everything. Oh, yeah. Was it last week now? In third, second service, we're talking about David's mighty men. David's mighty men. I wish you had time to read it. I think 2 Samuel 23. David, I mean, this man, David was fighting the Philistines, and they have taken over Bethlehem where he used to live. And David had this reckless test. He said, I want water from the well. I used to drink from Minugu, Umbiri water. Now, three of his mighty men heard him say that. You know what they did? They took arm and weaponry. They went after the Philistine, broke through the army just to fetch the water. Man. You know why David's sin was bad with Bathsheba? Uriah was one of his mighty men. If you see the list, Uriah the Hittite. It's not even an Israelite. You see, he was so committed in might to David that when David sent for him to come home to go and sleep with his wife so he can hide the pregnancy, the man said, I'm not going home. He had one of the most beautiful women in the land. Talking about might. He didn't go back home. He slept in the king's at the gate with his gate men. Because he said, why? He said, Israel is at war. I can't be here. That's enough to even break somebody. David was sleeping with his wife. Next. So David said, let me make him drink. If I make him drink, his head will escape. You know, sometimes, no matter how much you drink, it can't leave you. Are you hearing me? Sometimes can't leave you if you're talking. After the guy drank, he got up. He said, where is the gate? And he slept there. Might. Dominant force. That things will happen to you, you rise up. There's nothing as good as a husband who's dominant over situations. Like your wife says, dear, what are we going to do? We're going to trust God here. Praise God, somebody. Oh, man. In my younger days, I was just flat. God said, stop doing like that. Act like a strong man. That's not easy. So to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That whatever is thrown at you, if you faint, the day of adversity is because your strength is small. So one thing that heaven will offer you is that your drives, all those sexual drives, financial drives, will be monitored and channeled well through his strength. Everybody here is a basket case outside God. Are you hearing me, somebody here? None of us is actually good. None of us is actually righteous. It's God that is making this happen in our life. Are you hearing me? Let's go to chapter 1, Colossians, verse 10. Saying the same thing about strength. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Chapter 1, Colossians. Okay? That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Fully present, be fruitful. Next verse 11. Being strengthened with all dominion, all, you know, you financially, spiritually, emotionally, you just. I just got the Baba of all devotionals that I'm reading now by Smith Wigglesworth. It's called, if you like it, just let me know, I'll give it to you. But it's my precious thing now. If I read that alone, it will take me throughout the whole day and next day. There's something about Smith Wigglesworth that was amazing. A plumber didn't go to much school. The things he said, hi, I read one this morning, he just slapped me. He said, God is disappointed when you are not honest. You know, is that, I said, what? Why? You know, it just makes you feel like you have had a serious discussion. Some other ones just talking, you know, that I know that came, but it's just doing me one kind. He said, according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. You know, I see strength like something, like taking something, count, to make you really strong. And that's our own count as Christians. Because we don't drink beer, we don't smoke cocaine, but we can connect with the Almighty. And it can be our strength in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what will happen? For all patience and long suffering with joy. That means whatever is coming through, whatever, you know, I remember looking back now. When Abacha was around, we started our church that time. Church began around Abacha time. Things were really difficult. I was struggling to find my feet. God told me, said, get your feet down well because the future is more than this. Get, you know, Abacha. Now, what we are facing is more than Abacha. God said, trying to get us to have our feet on the ground. And when we do, of course, things will come. But your Father is bigger through you. Now, what is strength? Strength is power on the inside. What do I say again? What is strength? It's power on the inside. Now, anointing is power on the outside. You can raise the dead because God is working in power. But strength is something within you. Like now, eba is powerful, but when you eat it, it makes you strong. It works inside of you. It doesn't work outside. So when I have power at work in me, it makes me strong to stand up. I have battery on this thing that is talking. We used to buy battery that would just last for a while. Then we start buying rechargeable battery. So what do? We open that thing, like now, power bank. We put it there, they'll be charging it. And so that it won't flip up when we are using it. You should not be flipping up when life comes at you. You should be flipping in strength to meet it. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. So he said, blessed is the man whose strength. Now, that strength, you find it in him, not in cocaine, not in drinks, not in talking with friends, not in social media. You find that strength in him. Let's go back to Psalm 84. Let's start rounding up. Our time is up almost. Psalm 84, verse 5, quickly. Now, Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Now, there are two things in that verse. You are going to prosper, be fruitful, multiply. Strength is in you. Number two, whose heart is set. Now, please listen to this. This will help you so much. It helps me. Prof, you remember, we did a study about the law of diminishing returns. Every life goes through what? The law of diminishing returns. It's economic, it's applicable to everybody. What goes up must come down. But that day we talked, if you remember, we drew the graph and we said, it will go like this, but we can do something. Before it starts coming down, we can inject a new force there to take it up. And about to come down, we can inject a new force to take it up again. And then we can have a perpetual rising up. Though it's not smooth. Now, you have to do something as a person. Refuse to be old. Now, don't say physical language like now. Refuse to mutin dagba. Mutin why? Retired. If you don't believe me, check Dr. Aliba, check Uncle. You know, they just refuse to be old. they keep doing more. You know, we retire, but we are not retired. See, they refuse to be old. See, that worry. Whose heart is set? His heart is set on pilgrimage. You're going somewhere with your life. Praise God, somebody. You know what I told myself? My kid will leave, but I'm going to still be alive. I'm going to still be alive. I'm going to still keep doing what I need to do. I'm not going to run physically like I used to run. But I'm not going to diminish on the inside. Caleb said, my strength is the same 45 years ago and now. Of course, physically, you are noticing that he has gone gray hairs a little bit down, but he's put his strength in God. Praise God, somebody. And he set himself. Please, set yourself to occupy new territory. Set yourself to do greater things. Don't just park. Don't just, what is the grandpa? What is the grandma? What is the grandpa? I refuse to see myself as just grandpa. Are you hearing me? You are grandpa. But I'm not grandpa. I'm grandpa, but I'm not grandpa. Praise God. You have to just get up. Recently, somebody said, oh, he said to us, said, you guys. I said, I like that. I'm still a guy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes title can become too much exuberance on you. You call this and call that. Be yourself. Make get up. Do something more with your life. Hallelujah. One of the practices I do, I forget the past. I don't remember what I've done because there's so much more to do at the front. Praise God, somebody. So set your heart on pilgrimage to love your wife, to make your husband his best, to go ahead in life. And don't just think it's only about job. No, do it yourself. It's inside more than outside. You can change job. You can change location. But are you getting better on yourself inside? You know, people who are watching me now, who have traveled abroad, they've come to see that, some of them come to see that, this place requires a different ball game altogether. And some of them are not ready for it. But some are. I heard about a man who went to heaven. He said when he got to heaven, as soon as he crossed into the gate, he saw people coming in droves. He said there were these people that just came in, that the moment their feet touched the ground, they said, glory to God, and started running. Some other ones, they came in, said they just dragged him, and they were wondering, did he finally make it at last? They are just wondering, man, am I in heaven? I mean, they barely made it. We should not make life like that. Either here or there. So just barely making it. We should be running. Praise God, somebody. Tell yourself, I will run and not be weary. I will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. This is the first time in human history we are living to 1995-100. I just heard this, Rupert Murdoch. Have you seen his name now? Robert, is it Robert Murdoch now? He's the owner of a lot of these newspapers around the world. New York Times, and he's the owner. He's 92. He just handed over to his son to run the company. 92. Praise God. Praise God. Those guys just refuse to grow older. I read a book one time. 93-year-old Supreme Court judge. They went to go and see him. And he said he was reading. And he said, Papa, why are you reading? He said, you need to keep your mind sharp and strong. Like Gobelo. He refused to give up. Hallelujah. And please, let me warn you. Don't depend on trappings of promotion. When last was I promoted physically? I'm not becoming a bishop or archbishop yet. But I'm growing. I'm learning. So don't let you reach a pinnacle, professor, consultant. What do you do from there? What do you do from there? We just come back. And that's where God comes in. Praise God, somebody. He will take us to places we've never been. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? Tell yourself, my best is yet to come in God. My best is yet to come in God. I have not seen it all. I've not had it all. There's much more for my life. Let's lift our hands and just thank Him that we have not been left here to ourselves. That as a family, as married people, as professionals, as God's own people, as Christians, God has called us to advancement. He said, rule in the midst of your enemies. Prosper, reproduce, fill, subdue, take charge, be responsible for. Lord, please help me to increase my responsibility. Help me to rise and live above. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Can I have about 5 minutes more? Let me try and tidy up. We can't finish this book, but just much. We're looking at this in clusters. Let's look at next verse quickly. Yeah. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Next verse, quickly. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. One of the things we must learn to do is to start really bringing our difficulties and trials and limits in our lives to God. Are you hearing me? Give me the verse before this verse. As they pass through the valley of Baca, oh, they are the places of weeping. Are you hearing me? That word Baca means weeping. A place of sadness and sorrow. That place of limits and the door shut at your face. So, but they make it. Can we have it in, Charles, can we have it in Living Bible? Can you find the Living Bible if possible? You know, we stop getting frustrated. We start frustrating our frustration. Are you hearing me? I'm not making some sense. You know, your head is limiting you. You know that. So what do you do? When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of springs where pools of blessing and refreshment collect after rains. That means, you know what? When life gets difficult for me and I feel stagnant, I will collect baskets, I will collect buckets and start filling it with the blessing of God in that area. I start collecting all the blessings in that area and put in that bucket, and my water will overflow in Jesus' name. Valley is where water meets together. I want to let you know that you are going to face things. I don't want to tell you that. You're already older. You know that. But then start making those places in your children's life, in your family life, in your financial life, in whatever it is. Tell yourself, yeah, I know it's there, but through our God, we shall do valiantly. Amen, somebody? Amen, somebody? I want to plead with you over here. Don't waste your sorrow. Use it for the glory of God. Amen? 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 Things are going to happen to you. Some physical problems, some social problems, some financial problems, some emotional problems sometimes. Just use it as a point of blessing. Hallelujah. Take it to God and push it through. Maybe some problem in the home, problem in the health, problems. God knows that they're going to be there. Please, let's by now, troubles will not be sent to us. We'll be here long enough. I'm asked. What did I say before? Hello, are you hearing me? Huh? Nothing is new under the sun, but something is new inside of you. It's the renewal of the inner man. Am I making some sense this morning? I want every one of us to do this. No matter how old you are, determine that your problems, your struggles, they're going to be a place of the sufficient blessing of God. Am I making some sense this morning? Pastor, why is God doing me like this? No. God's not the one doing you like that. You are the one to do your problem. Are you hearing me? You want to say while I hear? You want to say? Who say meaning? You want to say? You want to face it? Those days, I always say, God, why? Now I don't do anymore now. God, what are we supposed to do here now? I see your face. What are we supposed to do? Let's stop here. You know, one day God showed me something that blessed me. God said, every king in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is noted for war. God said this will conquer the land. Am I right? So, God has ordained us to be kings and priests. Am I right? And kings go to war. You will never get more without fighting. 2:24. Deuteronomy 2:24. Deuteronomy 2:24. Let's pray. Deuteronomy 2:24. Let's round up. Deuteronomy 2:24. Rise, take your journey, and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I've given to your hand Sion, the Amorite, king of Hesbon, and his land. Do what? Begin to possess it. Do you know that that verse is read wrongly? Everybody look up here. See that last part is your spiritual strength of victory. See that last part. Begin to possess it. That's wrong. You engage in battle first and then possess it. But in God, you possess it first. So let's stand upon our feet. Which area in your life is outside your circle now? Can you possess it in the spirit? Then you're going to start fighting whatever need to be fought with to get the things done. Can we just lift up our hands and say, Father, thank you for the large territory you have given me. Thank you for the life you have given me. Thank you because my heart is set on pilgrimage. There's still much more to be done. There's still much more to be done. My life is not yet terminated, Father. Thank you. And so, can you, that area in your life, is it with your children? Is it with your life? Is it with your job? Is it with your walk with God? Begin to possess it as you rise. Begin to possess that. I'm taking over this. Is it a particular area in your life that is just your weakness? Say, in that area, I'm strong. Is it because you are bad with money? Tell yourself, now, I'm going to be good with money. You possess it first. I'm going to be patient now. I won't run away anymore as I used to run away. I'm steadfast now. Possess it first. I'm in charge now. So take charge. Oh, glory to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Lord, because you are my strength, because you are my strength, and you never diminish, because you are my strength, I take hold of this. Is it in your health? Is it in the family? Is it about future? Whatever it is, begin to possess it and then engage the opposition in battle. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Amen. Amen. Listen, listen just a minute. When we are praying, I saw this. I saw Caleb and Joshua ready to possess, and they were hampered by other people and they were delayed. Am I right? But to my surprise, their delay was their preparation time. Are you hearing me? Because the moment 40 years was up, they jumped up. They were not resting. Tell yourself, whatever delay, whatever time that I've been held back, it around for my good as time of preparation. Wherever I find myself right now, I'm preparing myself. I refuse to waste time in complaining and frustration. I'm taking the time to prepare myself. I'm working on myself to live for God. I'm working on myself to live for my family. I'm working on myself to live excellent life. I determined that today, that whatever is holding me back, I'm preparing through it in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. As you begin to round up, can you grab somebody's hand by your side? He said, once I chase 1,000, two, so I chase 10,000. Let's say, Lord, together we receive strength from each other, from you. We receive strength. We receive strength. We receive strength. to overcome obstacles, to seize opportunities, to round up and finish up till and we finished up, and to start what we need to start. We tap into the energy of God in our lives together. We tap into the strength of God together. And we march on in victory. The oppositions, the habits, the troubles that are holding us back, we push them aside by our unity together. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Oh, hallelujah. Can we give thanks together for our lives as we hold our hands together? Let's just thank the Lord for our lives. Thank you. We are grateful for our lives. Thank you for how far you have brought us. You may not have gotten everything yet, but you have come this far. And God has been good to us. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's come sing. You can have your seat as we give our offering. Praise God. Our time is fast spent.